So I know Sunday morning, Cullen promised you a certain title, but Wednesday night is prayer night. So I figured our devotion should be about prayer. So I've titled it, The Prophets of Prayer. We do not pray to tell God something he doesn't know, right? God is omnipotent, all-knowing. We don't pray to inform God of anything. Our circumstances are not hidden from him. He knows our every need before we do. Matthew 6:8 says, Our Father knows what you need before you ask him. If our prayers are not to inform God, if they're not for God's profit, our prayers must be for our profit. So that got me to thinking. Other than our prayers being actually answered, so regardless of whether or not our prayers are answered or not, I am positive there is much profit in prayer. What are those profits? That's what I'm going to try to talk about. We pray for different reasons. So I have four reasons: for ourself, for others, for guidance, and for thankfulness. There's probably many others, but I only have the four. I think we receive different profits, different benefits from these four kinds of prayer. First, prayer for ourselves. Now, I can only speak for myself, but I'm ashamed to say, mainly pray for myself. Since God knows what I have need of before I ask, my prayers for myself must be for my good. It's not to let God know something, right? So regardless of the outcome, my prayers are good for me. So I asked myself, how does that work? My first thought was, well, I'm praying for myself. Why am I praying for myself? And the answer is obvious. I need help. There's something happening way beyond my control, and I need help. God knows I need this help, and I think God wants me to know that I need his help. And he wants me to acknowledge that I need his help. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. Our dependence on God gives him honor, glory. That's first. But my thought then went to biblical examples of how often God's people find themselves totally unable to help themselves. The Bible scripture is full of such occurrence, right? Time and time again, God's people find themselves totally unable to help themselves. Abraham and Sarah, too old to have children. Moses at the Red Sea. Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. Gideon against the Midianites. Over and over again, way too many examples to mention. So remember Gideon, right? He's a good example. Gideon is about to go to war with the Midianites. God reduces Gideon's army from 32,000 down to 300. God, in Judges 7, verse 2, God says, The people that are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands, for Israel would become boastful, saying, My own power has delivered me. Sometimes when we find ourselves in trouble and we pray for help and deliverance comes, it's because God wants us to know that it is God that has saved us. It's our prayer to God that delivered us, not we ourselves. God wants us to understand, Ecclesiastes 9:11, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. The victory is God's. Humans, we are so prone to pride. Pride is the sin of Satan, and I think it's a great sin of ours. It's always there. Our God wants to save us from the sin of pride. Psalm 103:14, God knows our frame, that we are but dust, and he wants us to know it too. God wants us to know our weakness. God wants us to know just how much we need Him, just how weak we are. Each second of life, each breath, each heartbeat is a gift from Him. Our prayers for ourself, when we're in time of need and we have no other recourse and we go to God, our prayers for ourself lets us know just how dependent we are upon Him. And that's a good thing. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." We're strong in God's arms. There's a peace that comes when you realize you're helpless, but God isn't. When you realize troubles too big for you are nothing for God. If God be for us, who can be against us? There is great peace of heart and mind when you know God is on your side, and all things do work together for your good. And probably that peace is what you really needed all along. There's great profit in that peace from God. Secondly, I pray for others. My mother often quoted a famous saying when us kids were feeling a little sorry for ourselves, right? She said, "I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet." She tried to take our selfish thoughts off ourselves and onto others. It's a good thing to get your mind off yourself, to think of others. That's one thing that praying for others does. It takes your mind off yourself and puts it to others. When our heart is on us, we tend to be filled with worry, want, and selfish wishes. If you're thinking of only yourself, you're probably unhappy. Maybe better, if you're unhappy, you're probably thinking of only yourself. Taking our eyes off ourself is probably the most godly thing we do. It is the second commandment. But instead of thinking of what benefit there is for us, I wondered what benefit there was for those I'm praying for. Have you ever worried whether your prayers for others really matter? So I don't know if you're like me. I have, okay? I mean, really, just how much effect can Gordon's prayer have, right? Who am I? Who do I think I am, right, that my prayers would carry any weight with God? And then as I thought that, the next thought I thought was, get thee behind me, Satan. All right? That I, you, we are a child of the living God. And we are told that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Do not think for one moment that your prayers has little or no value. They have great value. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That is God's word. Your prayer for others has great value. Now, as I mentioned that verse, I always wrestle with that verse, right? Righteousness has two meanings in Scripture, right? First, it can speak of the righteousness which is of Christ, which we have. We have Christ's righteousness, right? Every believing Christian has the righteousness of Christ. Two, it can be speaking of one who is doing right, like Job. He was called righteous, right? He's doing right. This verse, James 5:16, could apply to both, I think, right? You're going to have to ask Pastor about that. But let's think of the righteousness of Christ first. We have the righteousness of Christ. Before I came to trust in Christ, I know that there was people praying for me. I mean, the person that was trying to lead me to Christ was praying for me. I cannot think of one saved person I have ever heard of that someone wasn't praying for them before they found Christ. I mean, maybe there is. I don't know for sure, but I doubt it. Right? Your prayers for others is very valuable. 1 John 5:16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he, God, shall give him life. If any man, I'm going to take that as any person in Christ. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto, and I'm going to take that spiritual death, he shall ask, and God shall give him life. That is a promise from God. Your prayers for saving others has great value. I cannot think of one saved person I have ever heard of that someone wasn't praying for them before they found Christ. Pray for the lost. Also, God asks us to pray for them that despitefully use you. If God is asking you to pray for others, do not think it means nothing. Don't think it's of little value. It means a lot. The Apostle Paul asked for prayer for him and his helpers. He would not ask, by the Holy Spirit, he asks this. He would not ask if it didn't have a lot of meaning. We are taught, we are encouraged, we are commanded to pray for others. Your prayer for others means a lot. The second meaning of righteousness, doing right. The NASB says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Notice it says the prayers of a righteous man. If you don't feel very righteous, I understand. But you can change that. Right? Turn to 1 John chapter 3. I'm just going to read verse 21 and 22. It says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. It does say of a righteous man, though. If you don't feel very righteous, you can change that. In fact, it's a good reason to live a righteous life in Christ, to help your prayers. There's quite a few things that can handle our, that can hinder our prayers mentioned in Scripture. And they are all, every one, examples of unrighteousness on our part. When Hezekiah prayed for his life, he reminded God of his righteousness. We read in Isaiah 38:3, Hezekiah's prayer. Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a whole heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. He reminded God he was doing right and obeying God. Then he wept sore. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. You or I might fail being as righteous as Hezekiah, but for your prayer's sake, try. Live righteous and pray hard. If you don't think you're righteous enough, you can change that. Praying for others. You know, sometimes that's all you can do for someone is pray. There's nothing you can do in this world to help. You're totally helpless. It hurts. But we do have prayer. Knowing that you've asked the all-powerful God, the all-merciful God, the all-loving God for those you care about should give you some peace. Realizing God's in control and realizing that God cares should give you peace. And peace is probably what you really needed. Thirdly, I pray for guidance. Instead of looking at prayers for guidance, I want to look at where the absent of prayer leads someone. Turn to Joshua chapter 9. We'll start in verse 6. So, like all the kings of the land are gathering together to do battle against Israel, except for the people of Gibeon. So, verse 3. Oops. I'm in Judges. They both start with a J, so that's okay. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they also acted craftily and set out as envoys and took worn out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins, worn out and torn and mended, and worn out and patched sandals on their feet, and worn out clothes on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now therefore make covenant with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you are living within our land. How then shall we make a covenant with you?" But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Then Joshua said unto them, "Who are you, and where do you come from?" They said to him, "Your servants have come from a very far country. Because of the fame of the Lord your God, we have heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provisions in your hand for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, We are your servants. Now then, make a covenant with us.' This, our bread, was warm when we took it for our provisions out of our houses on the day we left to come to you. But now, behold, it is dry, and it has become crumbled. These wineskins, which were filled with new, were new, and behold, they are torn, and these are clothes, and our sandals are worn because of the very long journey. And the sons of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask counsel of the Lord. And the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask counsel of the Lord. Because they never prayed, they made a league, a deal, a bargain that would ever be an obstacle to Israel. Just like those men lied to Israel, this world lies to you, to me, almost always. Proverbs says, "In the multitude of counselors there is safety. The first counsel we should always ask is for God's counsel. Pray for guidance and wisdom in everything you do. If you make a major decision without proper prayer," we could spend all night in this Bible noting bad decisions made without prayer. Pray before any decision. It will be to your benefit, to your profit. And you will have great peace in your heart when you believe you have direction from God. And probably, that's the profit you really needed after all. Lastly, I pray giving thanks for what God has given me. And I believe there is great benefit, profit for us in thanking God. First of all, because you should give thanks, right? Because every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. But more than that, your prayer for yourself, you know, your prayer for others, your prayer for guidance and light is profitable. But there can be so much profit even in a simple prayer of thankfulness. I believe habitual prayers of thanks can keep you from sin without you even realizing it. I want to remind us of a couple of times people did not give thanks, even a simple thanks of grace before a meal. There's no mention of prayer when Esau sat down to eat and sold his birthright. No mention of prayer when Joseph's brothers sat down to eat. In fact, let's go there to Joseph's brothers plotting to kill their brother. It's in Genesis chapter 37. There's only a couple of verses. Chapter 37, verse 23. So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic and vari-colored tunic that was on him, the vari-colored tunic that was on him, and they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty, without any water in it. Then they sat down to eat a meal, and as they raised their eyes and looked, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead. You know the story. We don't need to go any further. Notice in verse 25, they sat down to eat a meal. The act of saying grace is more prominent. You'll find it more prominent in the New Testament than in the Old. But I'm sure it was a habit practiced in the Old Testament too. Not with Esau, and no mention of it here. And notice the evil that came from it. I guarantee you, these men had not prayed about their decision on what to do with their younger brother. I do not believe they asked for the counsel of the Lord. But they never even took time for grace, to thank God for their food. Their lack of prayer is tempting a wrong outcome. Any lack of prayer is tempting a wrong outcome. There is no record of prayer here. If these brothers would have but prayed, even a simple thank you when they sat down to eat, God may have spoken to their hearts. I find it hard to believe that they would have sold Joseph into slavery if their hearts sought God. You shouldn't be able to honestly pray with your whole heart and then willingly enter into sin. If we are in constant prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Sin shouldn't rear its ugly head. Galatians 5:6, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Men ought always to pray. We don't just pray to the great God, right? We pray to a God that so loved the world he gave his only begotten son for us. This God is God. Prayer. Constant contact with God will keep us safe. It will keep us from sin. And less sin in our lives should give us great peace, because we live in a wicked, sinful, ungodly world, and we're wicked and sinful and prideful ourselves. We need prayer, and prayer will give you peace, and peace is probably what we need all along. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God, Lord, that you speak to us. We can't even compare think about how low we are compared to you. And you speak to us. And Lord, you have given us the privilege to speak to you. This side of heaven, Father, I don't think we have any comprehension of just how great that privilege is. We pray, Lord, that you would always remind us to be in constant prayer with you for these things, for other things, Lord, that we're always lay at the feet of Christ and always be looking to you for everything. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.